his powerlessness to Ebby, he's able to relate to another alcoholic. I wish I could say I was that smart and that like insightful when I was first getting sober, but it was similar to the extent that when I met my first sponsor and he mentioned that he had the same problem I had and that he had the solution, when I could relate to his problem, I could gain access to the solution he had to offer. That's all I got.
Thanks, Matt.
Sharon.
That's a paragraph.
How did that affect Bill?
That had floored me.
What did it begin to look like to Bill? Two sentences.
He began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible.
What was happening to Bill's ideas?
My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then.
What did Ebby appear to be to Bill at that moment?
Never mind the musty past. Here stood a miracle directly across the kitchen table.
What did that tell?
He shouted great tidings.
What did Bill see in Ebby?
I saw my friend was much more than inwardly reorganized.
Did Bill see a real difference in Ebby? Two sentences.
He was on a different footing. His roots grasped the new soil.
Did seeing this miracle change Bill's idea about God?
Despite the living example of my friend, there remained in me the vestiges of an old prejudice.
What word did Bill definitely dislike?
The word God still aroused a certain antipathy.
How did the idea of a personal God affect Bill? Two sentences.
When the thought was expressed that there might be a God personal to me, this feeling was intensified. I didn't like the idea.
Did Bill continue to cling to the agnostic views?
I can go for such conceptions as creative intelligence, universal mind, or spirit of nature, but I resisted the thought of a czar of the heavens, however loving his sway might be.
As time passed, did Bill find others who shared his ideas of God?
I have since talked with scores of men who felt the same way.
When Ebby realized Bill's predicament, what did Ebby suggest to Bill? Two sentences.
My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, why don't you choose your own conception of God?
All right, so we'll stop there. I kind of mentioned last week that like I feel like a lot of stuff happened early on in the creation of AA that might not necessarily should have been the way it should have happened. You know, and I feel like God had intervened. But this was one of those moments. You know, Ebby came to Bill's house with a very clear message of what he was supposed to be saying. He came with that Oxford Program of Action, and there was an agenda that went along with that. You know, like they're sitting there pushing that idea of, you know, their God is the only way to go, right? I don't know if anybody here is try to have conversations with a drunk person when you're sober, but they're effing annoying. And this has been going on for hours, right? So he's been sitting here talking to Bill for hours, and at a certain point, I feel like Ebby just kind of threw his hands up in the air, and he's like, you know what? Like, pick whatever God you want, but just pick something. There's got to be something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is one of those moments where God intervened, and now we have what we have today.
Interesting.
Anybody else have anything they want to share? Oh, we got a hand up over here. Hey, guy.
Mr. Guy.
Yeah, alcoholic guy.
Hey, guy.
You know, when you know, I kind of like this reading. You know, back here, here's how I lived my life. I had adopted those parts which seemed convenient and not too difficult, and the rest I disregarded. That's kind of how my life was. I was taking the easier, softer way. You know, but after I was in you know, Alcoholics Anonymous for a while, I could see the sincerity in people and how they were authentic and had changed, you know, after I'd been in there a while and watched people. And they were openly talking about that power greater than themselves. And, you know, I had a relationship with a higher power, but not to the extent that the people in Alcoholics Anonymous had. And they told me that's where I was going to get the strength to not only not take a drink one day at a time, but to deal with life on life's terms. And, you know, not thinking I was in control all the time. And, you know, it's attraction rather than promotion. And I could see, you know, when I walk into a room and people have got smiles on their faces and they're shaking hands or you know, giving hugs, you know, that's something I wasn't used to. And after a while, that's something that I wanted, you know. And so I just kept coming back. And, you know, I like what this gentleman said about, you know, Bill's under the influence. And we all know that talking to somebody that's under the influence is, you know, kind of a waste of time. So that's what I got to say. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Sharon.
Anybody else have anything they want to share?
All right.
Let me go for the next one.
How did that suggestion hit Bill?
That statement hit me hard.
What melted?
It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadows I lived and shivered many years.
Bill then stood where?
I stood in the sunlight at last.
What next paragraph? What must we be willing to believe?
It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself.
What more is required to make a beginning?
Nothing more was required to me to make it my beginning.
When does spiritual growth begin?
I saw that growth could start from that point.
What is the foundation of success in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous?
Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend.
I have a note here. It says, Do you believe you have the complete willingness that required to be successful in this program? Did Bill decide he would have it? Two sentences.
Would I have it? Of course I would.
We'll open that up.
Open it up, yeah.
Open her up,
share on that. You know, I know for myself, I came in here, you guys were my higher power. Like, you know, seeing what was going on in your life is what made me want to keep coming back and made me realize that, you know, there's something working here that is not necessarily us. And I think that that's kind of what he's talking about here. It's just having that willingness to believe in something greater than ourselves.
Hey, I'm Don, an addict.
Hey, Don.
You know, funny thing, we're talking about willingness in my daily gratitude list. I was grateful that I still have the willingness to continue changing. I know change is not an overnight thing. You got to throw out delayed or throw instant gratification out the window. If not, you'll go bananas. You know, so I was grateful that I have the willingness to change, because, again, no one, short of putting a gun to your head and telling you to do something, you're going to be willing to do it. If not, you're just wasting your time. It's all superficial nonsense. I believe I am willing. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to go all the way. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't. And I'm willing to continue changing, because there's a lot of work still left to get done. So, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm happy about that, and I look forward to being willing to change more. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, Don. I'm Jay. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, guys. I never had much. I was never like in church as a kid. I never was really, like, spiritual or had any idea of God or what that even was. I came to AA, and I thought it was kind of corny, you know, like a bunch of people praying and, like, talking about God, and I was like, that's lame, you know? But, like, I was so, and it said, like, we read it before, where it says, you know, like, myself, he had admitted complete defeat, and that's where I was at, you know? And when I read this, even though I had, like, no idea what I was supposed to be doing, even though it felt uncomfortable to get on my knees and pray to something I didn't know was real at the time, I did know that, like, everybody else was doing this, and they seemed happy. And when I read how low the bar was, I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. Like, the worst thing that can happen is nothing changes, you know? And the best thing for me is, like, my life gets a lot better. And luckily for me, it was the latter, you know? It's like, just come in here and give it a shot, and if your life still sucks, then go drink.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Thanks for sharing.
I think it's important, too. You know, the steps are laid out the way the steps are laid out for a reason. You know, a friend says that the steps are not supposed to be done buffet style. choose what you want to do, right? If I've successfully done my first step, if I sit there and I say that I'm powerless over alcohol, my life is unmanageable, that kind of catapults me into step two anyway. You know, if I'm powerless, then obviously a power greater than me is going to be what's going to restore me to sanity. You know, so it kind of just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got a hand up over here. Kenneth again. Yes.
Kenneth, we go next.
Hey, Kenneth.
So are they willing to believe? There was a meeting up when I was in Chicago, and after I had started believing, that willing part almost all, like, clicked for some reason. Like, I was reading doing all the readings, and I kept reading the word willing, and in treatments we talk about honesty, open willingness, and it wasn't clicking in my head. And all of a sudden, when I actually bought into it, the readings changed for some reason. I think it's in the 12 and 12. They say willing in like three paragraphs, like four times. You know, it's just nonstop. I go, oh my gosh, how many times did I read this for it to finally click? You know, but then when I finally gave it a chance, like, it all just made sense at one point. And it just took me a long time. But yeah, once I did it, I understood finally what they were talking about.
Thanks, Kenneth.
Thanks for sharing.
Hi, I'm Kathy, alcoholic.
Hey, Kathy.
Yeah, that willingness. Similarly, I think I did have an experience when I first got sober. I was very willing, and that was really just came from that place of complete despair and degradation and all that went with that. So scorecard definitely read zero, so I was willing. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I was obedient to what I was told to do. So there was, I don't even know if there was a willingness on my part at that point. I just did it. There's a difference between willing, you know, and wanting. You know, to want to do something, you know, I want to be sober. I'm not going to get sober by wanting to get sober. The willing to go to any length. And I think what helps me stay open to that willingness is sponsoring and working with other women and seeing, like, not because I'm saying, well, you have to do this or you got to, you know, I'm not saying that. But the willingness that I see, these women are so willing, you know, to keep that as part of their foundation is extremely inspiring and really makes me do my own inventory of how willing am I to continue to grow in this recovery. So willingness is far-reaching. So thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks for sharing.
Anybody else have anything they want to share? We'll jump into the next paragraph.
Of what was Bill then convinced?
Thus I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough.
What was Bill at long last able to do?
At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed.
What fell from his eyes?
The scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes.
What was he then able to see?
A new world came into view.
I have a comment here, and it says, here's where Bill took step two, as we now understand it. Next paragraph. What did Bill then realize about the doggerel on the old tombstone at the Winchester Cathedral?
The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me.
For a brief moment, Bill had needed and wanted what?
For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God.
When Bill was willing to call on God, what happened?
There had been a humble willingness to have him with me. And he came.
I have a note here that says, have you ever found yourself in deep trouble and tried to make a deal with the God of your understanding? Did God fail you? Did you keep your end of the bargain? Next question, what ended Bill's feeling of the presence of God?
But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself.
How long and what kept Bill from being able to sense that presence again? Two sentences.
It had been ever since how blind I had been.
All right, so it that's where we stopped the reading, right?
I believe so.
Anybody have any comments on anything that we've read so far?
Hi, I'm Ariel. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Ariel.
Going back to the part about willingness, I really appreciated the shares that I heard, and just thinking about this now, I'm having the experience that a lot of us probably have had, where you have friends come to you saying, I know I have a problem. Some of them even saying, I know I'm an alcoholic. I want some help. You know, me talking through that, obviously I can always talk about what I've done and so forth, you know, and then you find out the next day, or maybe even in front of you, they're drinking, they're using, whatever, you know, and it's such a challenge for me to really just, again, focus on what I can control and not become codependent and not, you know, say, hey, why don't you come and do this thing with me and we're not going to drink today, or all of those things, right? Like, I can give them information, I can lead by example, and that's it. But because if there is no willingness on their part really to truly stop, then that's just, I need to, you know, let them have their own journey and stay in my own lane. And then, you know, God willing, when they find that in themselves, it'll be more powerful than me pushing them that way. So I hadn't fully thought of that in the willingness before, and that kind of understanding of powerlessness that you had brought up. So appreciate it.
Thanks for sharing.
I think it's important to kind of notice that I feel like he's talking very like white light spiritual experience here. Like, I stood in the sunlight at last. You know, scales fell from my eyes. And it's not like that for everybody. That's why when the second edition of the book came out, they added the spiritual experience in the back of the book to kind of tell people, you know, that's actually not more common. It's more common to have that educational variety spiritual experience where, you know, half the time you don't even notice it's happening until after it's happened. That was my experience with it, you know. So I just think that's something good to keep in mind. Got a hand up over here, Brian.
Brian, alcoholic.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Brian.
What I think of with this is, like, it talks about in the 12 and 12, step 2, all the different kinds of believers. And I remember there's one where he says, like, there's one alcoholic who's sure of God, like so willing to believe in God, like, and but still he reeks of alcohol. I know I paraphrased that big time, but it's like that was definitely me. I was lucky enough to be raised up, you know, in a small town church where, you know, I really got the good idea of Jesus is a personal relationship, personal God. It needs to be your personal relationship. I even remember this big slogan of like of our youth group was Jesus is greater than religion. It like just goes beyond all the religious parts and just nails in the part of that, the faith, you know, and whether it's Jesus or whatever, it's just that being that, and that's how this is geared, like, the no religious, it's not religious, it's faith-based, and, like, but my problem was, and then in the 12 and 12, it says that person's problem is not the quantity of faith, it's the quality of faith. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has did for me. Come in and, you know, right off the bat, started listening to people that's been there and done it. And, you know, the first thing that I remember ever incorporating, and I always tell everybody that's new, is, you know, why don't you just get on your knees every night and every morning and pray, you know, help me stay sober today, and thank you for keeping me sober today. Because it's like those relationships where, you know, even in our active addiction or alcoholism, we had all kinds of relationships where we just were neglectful of them. You know, the people, they loved us. You know, they were there for us as much as they, you know, as we let them be. But, you know, we were, like, neglectful to them, you know. I didn't mean they go away, but it strained the relationship. And, like, once I started looking at it like that, it was like, you know what, this... Instead of me looking at, you know, talking to this girlfriend, or like, it's like a girlfriend, you know, you work on a relationship with that, or even a relationship, like I said, like with somebody from the past, like a mother, or just somebody you talk to. It's like, that's the thing, you know, you got to put in the time. So once you get that personal relationship or that concept of who your God is going to be for you, then just work on like talking to him. I know it kind of sounds crazy to some people, like, you go talk to your God, you know, but like, that's it. You know, that's how you build a relationship. You know, you can't do it by not talking to them, and you know, not just asking for yourself and stuff like that. But that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. It's gave me a little roadmap and you know, step by step guide on how to get this relationship going and how to keep it going. And that's it.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for sharing.
Anybody else have anything they want to share?
I think we have one more little paragraph. I think we stopped at Tremens.
Well, we can read.
Okay.
Two or three more paragraphs.
There you go.
Just do the study on it.
All right. At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I had showed signs of delirium tremens. There I had humbly offered myself to God, and as I then understood him to do with me as he would, I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I had not had a drink since. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to reproach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. I was to test my thinking by the new God conscience within me. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive. But that would be in great measure.
All right, so we'll stop there, and we'll just do the questions on these next couple paragraphs.
What happened at Towns Hospital?
At the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time.
Why did Bill believe it was a good idea to go to Towns Hospital?
Treatment seemed wise, for I had showed signs of delirium tremens.
And I have a comment here that says, Bill entered the hospital on December 11th, 1934, remembering that Dr. Silkworth predicted that Bill would die of a heart attack during DTs or become a wet brain. Next paragraph, what was the first thing he reported doing at the hospital? Three sentences.
There I humbly offered myself to God as I then understood him. To do with me as you would. I had placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost.
Sounds like step three. He ruthlessly faced what and became willing to have what happen?
I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch.
Sounds like step six and seven. I have a comment here. Bill made this decision on the afternoon of December 14th, 1934. By taking the steps, as we now understand them, was Bill successfully in sobriety?
I had not had a drink since.
Comment. Bill lived another 36 years and never returned to drinking. Next paragraph. What did Bill share with Ebby?
My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies.
Step five, question mark. What list did Bill make with Ebby's help?
We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I had felt resentment.
Steps 4 and 8. Was Bill willing to make restitution?
I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong.
Step 8, question mark. Did Bill intend to make restitution? Two sentences.
Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability.
Sounds like step 9. What did Bill do to test his thinking?
I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within.
Step 10. As a result, what did Ebby tell Bill would happen to his thinking?
Common sense would thus become uncommon sense.
What was Bill to do when in doubt?
I was to quietly sit when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as he would have me.
That sounds like step 11. Two-part question. How often did Ebby tell Bill he could pray for himself, and is there an exception to the never?
Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others.
Did Ebby tell Bill that prayer and meditation could be practical and productive? Two sentences.
My friend promised when these were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems.
Ebby promised Bill that once he had taken the steps, as we now know them...
In the line.
So we'll open that up for any comments. You know, this is the first time in the book that we're really seeing the steps kind of laid out, as Jay kind of just showed us when we were reading it. Anybody? Oh, yeah.
Hi, family. My name is Danny, and I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Hey, Danny.
Now, I always knew that God was with me. I always wasn't with him. And like Bill was saying earlier, when it was convenient, and as I've gotten my relationship back with him, obviously, so has the life beyond my wildest dreams come back. And yesterday I was just, praying a little different, not a foxhole prayer for a change of what's going on in your life and other people's lives right now, but praying for future. I always have a fear of financial situations, even though I'm in a season of harvest. I've been in a season of harvest since I've gotten sober 10 years ago. And it's, God played a funny trick on me. Later in the day, I got a phone call saying that the building that I subleased to my parents and also other boats, which has been a nice property that I've had for 15 years, this relationship, the owner of the building was going to sell it. My parents were going to have to move, and I won't have the docks there anymore. So I said, huh, that's a switch. And so all I could do is give it up to God. And after just a tumultuous trying to do that, and it just being a very difficult evening, I was just, I just kept leaving it in God's hands. And the whole deal just kind of diffused today. And I couldn't imagine, it was going to throw my life. And I don't know what the moral of that story is, besides letting his will be done in your life so much easier. But I see things in here like God consciousness, and I just remember how important it was to have when my God awareness showed up, and my gratitude, and just seeing God and having him be a part of every day is just makes things, when these big bombs drop in your lap, like you don't have a place for your parents that you've convinced to come down here and take care of, it makes life easier with them. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks for sharing.
He's talking at the beginning of this, what we read at the hospital. This was Bill's fourth and last detox that he went to. And they sent him there because he was showing signs of delirium tremens. But it was at the hospital that he did all this, And someone had started to talk about it earlier, about, us coming in. We have that gift of desperation once we get here where, that's where that willingness is going to come from. So it's kind of the small window. And, I'm glad that, for me personally, I went through the steps the way I went through the steps, where it was rapidly. I didn't sit on a step for a year or anything like that. I needed to go through it quickly so that that miracle could happen with me before I lost that gift of desperation. Anybody else have anything they want to share to close this out? All right, we'll start closing it up.
From A Vision for You, page 164. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, but you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is a great fact for us.
Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny.
It is the practice of the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group for group member sponsors to introduce their new sponsees by presenting them with a sponsorship medallion. Does anybody have any new sponsees tonight? Bring two next week.
Is anybody celebrating a year or more sobriety that would like a medallion? Does anybody need a sponsor?
If you would like to become a member of this group, please join us after the meeting to fill out a membership card.
Can all home group members raise your hand? Great. We'll see you after the meeting to help break down the room.
Also, if you're not a home group member and you want to do service, you can also help.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We hope to see you next week and Thursday evening, this Thursday, 7:15, right in this very room. We got CBB starting a 6-week series for us. You're going to want to come check that out. Fellowship starts at 6:30.
75 feet away from the doors to vape or smoke, or you can use this balcony. Just jump.
And we're going to go ahead and close with the Lord's Prayer. Yikes. Who woke us up today?
Our Father.
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.